The gospel reading comes to us today from the Gospel of John, the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 33. Listen to and for the word of God. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew. Am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus says, "My kingdom is not from this world." At the time of the Reformation in the 16th century, Martin Luther and John Calvin concluded there are three marks to identify the true church: the preaching of the gospel, the proper administration of the sacraments, and the right exercise of church discipline. Living the gospel, partaking of the sacraments, and practicing disciplined care of each other's well-being are acts of being a community. It is true that Jesus is Lord, and on this Christ the King Sunday, let's come to terms with that. Has Jesus marked your life? Is it guided by the gospel? Do you accept? Do you repent of the insidious sins of anger, gossip, false accusation, deceit, and self-righteousness? Are you in accountable relationships which practice the disciplines of reproof, correction, forgiveness, and love? You see, 2 Samuel closes out with David reflecting upon his reign as king. Marcia Shoup, a New Testament scholar, writes, "Knowing the source of one's strength and worth," end quote, "is foundational to be in relationship with God." Knowing the source of one's strength and worth is foundational to be in a relationship with God. 2 Samuel reminds us that David's strength, worth, and leadership is not derived from himself, but is a gift from the one who knows him the best and loves him the most, God. In the reading from the Gospel of John, Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." No legislative act making Christianity the country's religion and adherent to such religion is a safeguard. You see, Christian nationalism is not an effective king. Walter Russell Mead, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, predicts that the 21st century will be remembered as the age of the apocalypse. The word apocalypse in the Greek means lifting of the veil. In an apocalyptic age, the veil of normal secular history, reality is lifted, and we can see behind it. Let me try that sentence again. Like, I need the veil to lift off of, even with these no glare holders of my paper. It's like blinded by the light, and I'm losing my place. But then again, hopefully I've memorized a lot of this. So here we go. The word apocalypse in the Greek means lifting of the veil. In an In an apocalyptic age. Help him, Jesus. I'll take all I can get. The veil of normal secular reality is lifted, and we can see behind it. What we see is the conflict between God and Satan, the ongoing struggle between good and evil, a conflict and struggle to control the future. Every generation thinks the apocalypse is happening in their lifetime. That apocalyptic age is when everything seems to be coming unglued in secular reality. So the veil comes off, and then what we see is the struggle between God and Satan, good and evil, and a conflict and struggle to control the future. You just think about it for a moment. What's going on in the entire world? Take Ukraine and Russia, the conflict there. It's for control of the future, and it's a struggle that's beyond just these two militaries. It's a struggle, according to Scripture, of the principalities and darkness of this world. And so we're seeing at work a struggle between good and evil. We're seeing the struggle between God and Satan, and this conflict and struggle is to control the future. Same thing with Israel and the Palestinians and Iran. Same thing in our own country with this struggle over Christian values being imposed. It's a struggle between good and evil. It's a battle. And we as Christians can look behind the veil. It's like kind of like looking behind the curtain. And instead of seeing the wizard, you see the struggle that's going on to control the future. So it's an interesting time. The apocalypse happens, people think it's happening in every generation. It's the lifting of the veil. And this apocalyptic age takes that veil away and we're exposed. Have you not asked the question, can it get any worse? Can human behavior get any worse? Every generation asks that question. And man, depravity is having its way. I want to be a Calvinist with you, so I use the word depravity. The nature of sin is having its way. It's a big struggle. You see, both of our Bible texts point us to serve the common good. We are to give non-judgmentally and generously for the common good from what God has given us, from the wallet of one's life. To me, this serving the common good is at the center of the conflict. We have a hard time seeing the common good. In fact, it's easier to see people serving what we think the good is for our lives, not seeing what is good for all. I've said this phrase for many years. It gets me in trouble in every church I've served. Because when you hear common good, you think of socialism. And Acts chapter 2 is about how they held everything in common and shared. The church was working for the common good, not just of their initial families, but for all the families that lived in that neighborhood. I've had people in churches say, we knew you were a socialist, if not a communist. I go, well, thanks for being in church today. But, it's just a reality. I've had people leave church because I've said common good. And folks, serving the common good is not selfish. Serving the common good is loving others and giving ourselves away. So sometimes when people want to have a more serious conversation with me, not just saying something like that in the line on the way out, which I just smile and they keep going. It's kind of like a drive-by, you know what I'm saying? We can talk about, okay, so what do we do with Jesus when he said things, when you serve the least of these, you're serving me. What do we do with Jesus' statements, blessed are the peacemakers? I mean, I'm not trying to make us feel bad, but this is Christ the King Sunday. And this is the person we follow. And I'm so glad that the King is sovereign, that means in control, over all this veil that's getting lifted. Did you follow what I just said? We don't need to fear how the veil just continues to be pulled back. We just need to trust the one who calls us to love God more fully and love others and just keep going in the midst of whatever the chaos is, because God is with us in that. You see, God has given us from the wallet of, God has given us everything we have. As Christians, we must understand the difference between religion and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Ritual and relationship. By definition, religion is a particular system of faith and worship. It's important. But our relationship isn't with the structure or the system. The system helps us understand more fully our relationship with Jesus. A Christian's faith should not be in a system, but in Jesus Christ. Religion is impersonal. Jesus Christ is personal. So in a day and age when everything seems to be coming undone at the seams, people need hope. Those who name Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord mediate hope to others. You know, perhaps that's the only sentence I should have said in this sermon. And just sit down. As Christians, your words and deed mediate hope to people who are being beaten down by the veil being lifted. And sometimes we're in that. But we need to give hope that this, my friends, does not have the last word. That's the promise of the one who knows us the best and loves us the most. Hopeful Christians focus on being community in order to work for the public good. Robert Bella, a great sociologist who wrote a book back in 1991 that's still relevant today, says this: in the second democratic transformation of the 18th century, public came to mean the citizenry who reflect on matters of common concern, engage in deliberation together, and choose their representatives to constitute the government. Religious bodies are very much part of this meaning of the public, not because they are governmentally established religions with legal privileges, but because they enter into the common discussion for the public good. End quote. So recall the words of Marcia Shoup, a New Testament scholar. Knowing the source of one's strength and worth is foundational to one's relationship with God, being a follower of Jesus, and a member of Jesus' community. So let us claim God's promises and proclaim the blessings of God's rule for all creation. Yes, the end is near. They've been saying that since the very first century. But let us not be motivated by fear. Fear is a debilitating motivator. We bow only to Jesus, the Christ, the one who is and was, who is to come, is reigning on the throne. So on this Christ the King Sunday, be reminded that we are to be faithful witnesses to the lordship, the kingship of Christ, and as a community participate with God in the mission of transforming the world. How? Mike Slaughter writes, quote, ultimately we each make a choice, consciously or unconsciously, to invest our God-provided resources in serving others, ourselves or serving God's purposes. The first is selfish, the latter leads to a renewed life, end quote. So my final word today is this: use your life's wallet to serve God's purposes, not your own. Christ is King. Amen.